Okay, so as everybody says I should just start, I will do so. First, let me please introduce myself. My name is Andy Barth. I'm one of the Debian release managers, and I'm giving today a talk about Edge, Lenny, and more. So, of course, we assume that there will be more after Lenny as well. So now, first of all, just a few introduction words about what we have. We have different suites in Debian. Basically, that's something everybody should know who managed to pass through NM. But experience shows that it's better to perhaps say it rather once too often. So packages. Oh, I need to move the things.
Yes.
I just need to move a bit of the things here. Okay. Now there we are. So yeah, packages are normally just uploaded into Unstable. Then they enter testing after some rough testing in Unstable. And one day or other, testing is then released as stable. And for packages which are not meant to go to stable one day, we have experimental, which is the proper place for them. So and what does release management basically mean? It means we need to ensure that testing really meets the release targets. We need to ensure that testing is not broken and does not get broken. We need to keep all the strings together. That also means speaking with other teams, maintainer people, there's lots of people. Yeah, and finally, collect and distribute information. So it doesn't look as it would be too much, but actually it's still quite a lot of work. And now if we look at the release team, now for Lenny, there will be two release managers. Beside me, that will be Luke Glass, who is also at DebConf. Then we have two release assistants, Mark Brockschmidt and Adiato Simo, sie and Martin Zobel-Helas. Martin started as stable release manager, and we just cooperated him into the Lenny release team last weekend because we have just seen that he helped us already quite much. So yeah, he was added. And then Steve said he doesn't want to be again on the hot seat for Lenny. So we removed him from the hot seat called release manager and invented a new title called release wizard. Yeah. Then what we definitely want to have, we want to have more release assistants. So we are going to look for new people coming into the release team again. Anybody who is interested should just start sending us a mail. We will also send out a mail to Debian Devel Announce soon. And basically, it will work like we did last time when we found Mark and Adiato. We will just give a few tasks and then see who is able to survive us. We have, of course, an Zola account. So if you have any question, please feel free to always contact us at Debian Release at listdebian.org. Please don't write personal mails to me or to anybody else in one of the roles because it isn't usually as useful as that. Unless, of course, you need to hide information because there are security bugs or something like that. But mostly, please use the Zola account. And we have a webpage, releasedebian.org. We try to collect information there as well. So now, what are our tools? For testing migration, we have a script called Brittany that takes packages from Unstable if they are roughly okay, if they fit into testing without breaking anything, if they don't have release critical bugs, and then it transits it to testing. We can change how Brittany works with usage of hints. We have release critical bugs. For us, it is also a tool because it really helps us to say which packages are okay and which not. So they are basically the least critical bugs are our friends, not our enemies. Of course, we want to have none of them, but not by defining them away, but just by resolving them. That's the goal of it. Then there's a security status, and we have lots of small scripts and tools that we just use very intensive, like duckls or grabdcontrol or whatever else is there. Yeah, and then how packages go into testing. Basically, we prefer really to go them via Unstable, if possible at all, because they will get some more testing there. That's even true when there's a deep freeze, because it's really, they get proper testing there, it's easier for us. Testing for post updates works as well, but then only very minimal fixes, because we can't test them as well, as good as in Unstable. So Brittany runs every day or twice a day now, shortly after deinstall. Testing output and excuses are published. Output and excuses basically means what did Brittany do? Excuses are checking, is this package okay for testing transition at all? Or does it have RC bugs? Is it too young? And testing output is then which packages did it make finally in, and of the packages which failed, why did they fail? Why didn't they make it to testing? And we can resamplitnip during the day, or better to say, we can ask an FTP master to resamplitnip during the day. We don't do that too often currently, but there are times where we do it quite often. So what was basically the border of Edge, where did we start it? We more or less had a kickoff meeting in Vancouver, as you probably all still remember very well, at least the discussions afterwards. We originally planned it for December 2006. We delayed it a bit to Easter Sunday. That was, of course, a delay we didn't want to. So, yeah, we would have liked to really meet our goal in December. But on the other hand, comparing it with Sarge, it wasn't too bad either. Sarge was also planned for December, if I remember correct. That was about the time when I joined Debbie in December 2003. So I really think we did it way better. So now in Edge, what worked well in our opinion? One thing that worked really very, very well for us was all that version tracking in the bug tracking system. That is really a great help for us to find out which packages are actually buggy in testing, not only in unstable, and to see sometimes maintainers tend to drop NMUs just. They just forget about or just upload the package and roll back an NMU. And with version tracking now, version tracking will just go and say, oh yeah, unstable is now buggy again. So yeah, that's a really great thing. Another thing that worked fairly well is we said at the beginning of the Edge release cycle, we said we want to have only very few release blockers, and most things should be only in release goal. Of course, there are always some blockers, but we try to not allow too many stuff into that, and that worked fairly well for us because we didn't have so many large issues up to the last moment open. Another thing that's of course connected to that is then we invented the so-called release goals during last DevConf, where we said, well, if you have certain issues, we can approve them and then you can upload them or you can file important bugs on them, you can NMU them, and also work very well. For example, I didn't think we would have been able to get a libse Linux in as we did now with the same amount of support, but with saying it's a release goal and also who is interested can work on it, with basically Manoj did it, can do it or not. Yeah, it arrived there without making any trouble for us as a release team. So another thing that's really very, very well is with the build daemons. Of course, there's still a lot of room for improvement, but when looking back at Sarge, and Steve reminded me on that in our discussion how Edge worked, in Sarge, we ask people, say, please don't upload anything that you don't really need to have in testing because our build daemons are totally overloaded. We did that, I think, 3 times for Sarge. We never did that for Edge. So that's really a great improvement. Also, related to that, the architecture status. We did a table, say, what does each architecture need to have? For example, we need to have porters. And that motivated people to work on the architecture again. So it wasn't the release team this time who had to drive the architectures. For Sarge, we as a release team dragged a build daemon in Europe, told someone, please go to your car, grab that build daemon and drive to another place. That's not the task of the release team. And I'm really happy that architecture status worked very well. Of course, there are still things I'm not so happy with, but I think in the end, it worked fairly well. Also, our release updates via Debian Novell announced, at least I think they worked well. I'm, of course, in a bit biased position on them. Then the time planning at large, even though we didn't really manage to reach the December, the larger time planning worked well. We managed to get our CBugs mostly away in time. So yes, I'm quite satisfied with that as well. Experimental was used very much as staging area, for example, for the GNOME transition, for the Xorg transition, for the KDE transitions. So we really had broken unstable only relatively short. Of course, more bugs are found in unstable, but the first hard bugs are mostly fixed in experimental already. So, very well done. And I can only say this, most of these are little things we didn't do, but where Debian at large just did things in a very great fashion. Then, of course, the NMU policy worked fairly well. We had a bug squashing party marathon, which also helped us to fix more SC bugs than we actually expected. We that use the time zone, the time we have frozen unstable or also the base, and we also reduce the amount of packages we have frozen, which helped, but also we adjusted it in a few parts. For example, we started to freeze also the build tools that we have, and the helpers like dep helper and so on, so that we don't get by an upload of a random package like CDBS another 90 SC bugs. So yeah, I hope so. What worked well was also managing the release in large. What went fairly well are the release notes, except that we really started too late again. We wanted to do it better, but I'm really amazed of the, especially of the translators, how fast they were able to catch up with us. I really need to say a large thank you to the translators. It's really we wrote the release notes, I think, up to something like 3 in the morning on the Saturday before Easter, and something like that. And now you have 12 hours of time to fix it, and they managed it. Really tough thing, and they did it well. Yeah, and what was very helpful is our ability now to use binary NMUs, which basically means that one of our release team members is able to schedule them, and they were just automatically built. That helps a lot of in transitions, where you just say, well, we need to rebuild the package and all architectures, and that's it. Oh yeah, we can just do it in unstable without asking anyone to do a sourceful upload. So, of course, we also learn a lot of things from Edge. So, for example, QA checks are really helpful. We need them, and we need more of them. But if they start too late in the release cycle, they can be very, very painful to us as well. For example, we got a couple of bugs where just some files like Debian Copyright weren't existing at all. Something that should never happen, but if you detect something like that just a week before the freeze, it isn't helping the timeline as well. So we want to have more QA checks for Lenny, but we want to start them early in the cycle. Yes, what we also learned is we need to use release goals even better than we did for Edge. We need to check with the kernel team more often. And there are other teams also where it wouldn't really disturb, but with most teams it worked fairly well. But with the kernel team, we really need to check more often. Not necessarily the fault of the kernel team, but that is just that so that we, the release team, know what the issues are, what they are needing from us perhaps, where we could help, or where we could, how it could work better. And we need to coordinate with the media archive people earlier. That media archive people basically means the people who are operating CD images Debian.org, because we just put them something like 2 weeks prior to the release in the loop. And I said, well, we want to push out the release at this date. Are you available? Which was especially an Easter, a very unfortunate date. It worked still very well, but perhaps it should be a bit earlier next time. At least I hope to remember myself then when I'm at that position
in time. So,
yeah, so for Lenny now, the big picture. We want to release in the second half of 2008, which is fairly soon. We want to send out more release updates. I know that we said the same after Sarge, so I really hope we do it this time. We want to do even more quality assurance. We might get new architectures. That's an open question for me currently. I hope to get some more feedback from the porters during DebConf. I already got some, and I hope to get even more. It might be that we have to retire another architecture or not. We will have to see. But that's about the big picture. Now looking into details, the timeline. We will start our first bug squashing party marathon now in August, from August to November, to try to get the number of release critical bugs down to overviewable scale, perhaps. We have far too many. We want to freeze the release blockers latest in September. Actually, I think we already have all of the blockers that we have, but there might be some discussions now. We want to start the binding maintainers that they should avoid making breaking changes to unstable in March. Of course, there's some packages where we really don't care so much because they are leaf packages, but for core packages, that's the time when we need to be very careful. That's, of course, the tool chain, kernel, eggs, and what else? I can see David here. So then we will have from March on a second bug squashing party marathon and also call a permanent bug squashing party again up to the release, which we then hope will be in September. And between that and September, we will have the usual, we will start freezing the essential toolchain, the non-essential toolchain, base, we will have a Debian installer release candidate, and so on. Yes, and then we will hopefully release in September, but September is only an internal date for us now. We want to say we will hope to release in the second half of 2008, but of course we need to plan for a certain month to somehow start planning when we will freeze what. Yes, and then the release goals, what are they, by the way? They help in a better overall quality of the release, but they are not blockers to the release. So, and advantage is that people who want to promote something with release goals could basically handle them similar to RC bugs. Of course, they are not RC bugs, but they can file them as with an important severity. They can NMU it if they are not worked on. So it's very near, but we are not waiting on them. That's all. Yes, and of course, most of our tools should support them. We started now to include support for them in our RC bug tracker so that you can say RC bugs plus the release goal trackers somehow. We need to find a better word for it. And we will also make a canonical list of what are the release goals, by the way, so that anybody could look them up. Any open issue that is not an RC bug by some other matrix is at least an important bug now. And we want to have the bugs that are from the release goals, we want to have some tagged with goal minus whatever, something like goal minus SE Linux or goal minus NFS 4.0, so that we can easily find some out with the user Debian release at list.debian.org. And if you have something what you would like to see as a release goal, please send a mail to Debian release saying, okay, how many issues are about there? Have you already identified all of them? We need to have one or two responsible persons who just follow that up, so that we can also ask, where are you now? We want to have a long-term strategy, so the bugs don't reappear again. Of course, there are cases where we don't mind too much for long-term strategy, like, well, it should work, it should build with the next version of GNU-CC, because the long-term strategy is that will be uploaded. So that's okay. And then you could, of course, propose a short name for tagging the bugs. Otherwise, we will invent one. And yes, then mail it to Debian release. And we will hopefully one day send an answer back to say, yes, that's OK, or no, we have still this open issues, questions, or whatever. So what are our current release goals? You see, not all of them are package related. We want build redundancy even more than we have now. We want to have full UDEP support in Brittany. Also not really package related, but now we go to packages. We want to have full IP version 6 support. We want to have a LFS support. We want to have NFS v4 support. All of that is now inherited from the Edge release goals. We want to have a double compilation, means you can compile a source package twice and the second version is still working. You don't need to laugh about that. We have a lot of packages which fail that. Which is really a shame, actually. So yes, it definitely belongs on this list. But it's not an RC bug, because you can upload the package, build demons work, so, but yes. I think it's such a typical release goal. We want to avoid having unmet recommends in main. Unmet dependencies are, of course, RC. Unmet recommends are now a release goal. We have the TTech to Tech Live transition. We want to get rid of DebMake. The maintainer agreed to that. We just have something like 17 packages to NMU. And we want to use PO4A for the release notes, which will make translating the release notes way easier. But we need to also start this early in the cycle, because it's a bad thing to do that 2 weeks prior to the release. So there are other things that we want to do. For example, we want to EOL YADA as well. But actually, we didn't really find the way how to describe it to the maintainer up to now. So we couldn't set it to the conform to the release goal. But that's my pet project, so to say. So Our release policy is technically spoken. We have most things in the release policy are just okay as they are. There are some things that are not so good. For example, the refer to a version of the Python policy that's outdated, that has never been really in use, and we say any violation against that is an RC bug. We added in parentheses to say, actually, that's somehow not true anymore. But we should work on that, but mostly it's technically okay. The style is just, how should I say, it's grown up. At least it's the same as it used to be in Sarge, and just things have been added and removed. And I suspect, I haven't been around at that time, but it's probably still the same as Potato. So we might perhaps just rework it. And we're consulting to make one document that describes just the full release process, including, yeah, what's our timeline, where do we want to go to, what do we want to have as architectures. For example, last time we said, well, it's in the release block, so we get AMD64 in. But we never said we won't release without EC86. So it just has a lot of things that we just assume that are natural. We don't say so. And that might be, we might try to make that a bit better. Yes, of course, we have even more plans for Lenny than officially confirmed release goals, release blockers. We want to have lesser dependencies between SSH slip bumps, something that's actually currently being worked on. We want to make less dependencies in transitions. That's something we want to have in Brittany. That's already part of our Vancouver results, by the way. So we want to have even more QA, of course, better UDEP handling. We want to take better care of our website, and we want to use version tracking for Brittany. At least the version tracking for Brittany is something we really need to start working on now, because if we do something wrong, it's not so bad now as it would be shortly before the release, but shortly before the release, it's really very useful to have Brittany understand what versions are. So now, how every developer could help, because releasing Debian is something we all do together. It's not something that just four or five people in the release team do. So the first is, of course, keep your own packages in good shape. If everybody would do that, we could just release tomorrow. So that would be very helpful. Then help with squashing other RC bugs. It's so easy to just squash RC bugs. They're easy bugs, they're bit harder bugs, they're hard bugs. So for every level, there are bugs currently. For example, there are lots of bugs like there are RFC documents which are non-free in the source package. So it's an easy thing to do. Everybody should be able to do it. Just start doing it. That will help a lot. Yeah, then before you upload changes, and you suspect that you might break something, please talk to people before. So the release team is always available on IRC. We are often fast responding on mails. Other teams are also good available, and asking isn't so pain. And I prefer to be asked 10 or 20 times when it's not necessary than to have one upload that breaks all of our large transition. Yes, then of course, something you should always do. You should always read Debian Developer Announce. But even if you don't do it, please read at least our mails before you upload something. Well, and then, of course, maintain your libraries in a good way. Don't let symbols disappear. Don't make SH slip bumps when they're not necessary. Especially don't rename the SO name when it's not necessary, or even worse, don't rename it when it's necessary. That are really the things where it could make our life hard and make the life of our users hard as well. Yeah, and then also some minor things. Please don't upload packages that are not meant for stable to unstable, not just because you can't do it, of course, but yeah, it's really a pain for us. And a pain also for the other maintainers if packages appear which are just meant to stay in unstable up to Lenny plus 2. And please don't upload a package if you break a transition. So please take a look what's currently trying to get into testing first, and there are currently a few larger transitions are ongoing, so please be careful that you don't break something that should go to testing. Basically, if your own package is in sync in between testing and unstable, and also not only the source package, but also binary packages, it's mostly safe. In other cases, please just take one look more while it's not going in, if there's a transition. If you go on the package tracking system, there is something like it's trying to be included into Brittany. If it follows into testing, if it follows the links there, you'll be said it's not going in because it's waiting on that and that other package. And if there's a large number of packages that are conflicting with each other, it's probably a large transition you better don't disturb. Yeah. Then there are, of course, a few more ideas what we could do in the release and what we might want to try. One thing that we want to do for Edge already is that we want to add another kernel version halfway between Edge and Lenny so that we can support newer hardware. There are still a few things that need to be sorted out for that. We know that, but yeah, we are very optimistic to be able to. And the great thing would then be that we can support even more hardware without a new release of all of Debian. But yes, that will be an interesting experiment too. The next idea that is way harder, I really need to say that, would be that we upload an additional set of KDE and so on. The idea is to try that out via backports orgs this time and see how it works. The problematic part is not to upload the packages. It's even not to make the security updates for the packages, even though that's a bit harder. The really hard part is make sure that the transition from what comes in there to Lenny is really smooth. That's the hard part in it. So it's very easy to underestimate the amount of effort we have to do for a smooth transition. And also what we want to do is we want to get the point release process a bit more streamlined so that it works better. It already works a lot of better than it used to do, but there is still room for improvement. The other ideas I didn't put on the slide, and where I really need to say I don't think they do any good. All of these are things I think that would help Debian. The other things, there have been ideas floating around Debian lists like, oh, what's about dropping testing, which I basically think it's a very bad idea because our current scenario works fairly well. Of course, we have some issues we know about. We want to improve it, but it mostly works very well. And I don't see any reason to throw good working things away because some minor bits are not working well. So that's definite, from my opinion, to stay basically the way we are and make improvements in detail and try to evolve the things and not to just improve something new. And it's always easy to start and say, I have a great idea. Ideas divide down are easy. The hard part comes at the end. And trust me, the release team and some of the core package maintainer know how tough the tough end is. So now, then let's release again. One of the things we learned really is Debian can release. We can even control our release cycles, at least in the large amount of time. We can go down from 5 years to 2 years. Yes, but of course also releasing Debian is a common task that we all do together. And so, yes, let's just do it again. Okay, so thank you for your attention so far. And now, questions? Don't be shy.
So one of the things that was most noticeable when we had Sarge was that it was a big difficulty if you're running a Sarge system and you wanted something, the odd package, you'd have to compile it yourself or use backports, and often the version skew was really bad. Are you considering adding, now that we've got shorter release cycles and it's maybe more practical, any requirements that packages in testing or in unstable must be buildable using some set of things from current stable, maybe some restriction on what the build dependencies are?
I will repeat first the question. The question is, if you were in Sarge, it was a bit problematic if you wanted to use a package from unstable because you had to, often not all tools that were available for recompiling were there. And so you had issues to locate appropriate tools. And whether we want to enforce now that you can recompile everything with a package in the current stable. Actually, I think that's not feasible to do it, because there are often cases where you do a transition where you have the chance to either break stable or, break testing. And then, of course, I prefer if the package can be compiled in testing. Of course, I agree, there are sometimes cases where maintainers make unnecessary burdens, where they say, removing the unnecessary burdens would be a good thing. So I definitely appreciate any bug report to say, well, maintainer, if you do this little change to your console script, it will also build easily on current stable. That would be a good thing. But I don't think that we can manage to say everything needs to build in stable. But of course, if you can get nearer to that, I would appreciate it. Okay, next question.
Yeah, you mentioned you wanted to eliminate recommends in main for to packages that are not in main. One question I had about that is, what about a package that require in order to operate requires you have a kernel package installed? Not all of the external kernel modules can be auto-built or are auto-built. I mean, they all can be, but it's a big hassle occasionally. And I have a package, for example, that has a recommends for that reason, to try to document the fact that you really need to have the kernel module installed or it won't work.
Can you please repeat the last part of your question? I'm not a native speaker, as you might hear.
So when eliminating recommends, that recommends in main for packages that are not in main, one of the places where that pattern is used is for kernel modules. If you have a package that's in main that requires a kernel module, an external kernel module be installed, that the kernel module itself is not auto-built for each different version of the Linux packages, you end up with that pattern. I'm wondering how that affects the goal of removing those recommends.
Well, okay. First of all, the advantage of Go is that even if you can't really 100% reach it, it will still be helpful to make it for the rest. So, first of all, I don't think that it affects the release goal negatively at all, but what we should do now is get the kernel modules a bit better into shape. If I look at the kernel package, how it evolved during the last, let's say, 3 to 4 years, we gained a lot of in the kernel package. We now gain the audibility, and I'm not too sure I need to ask that actually to the kernel team, where I see somebody from the kernel team sitting there. Which are the kernel team's plans on that? But yes, I would appreciate if we could get more kernel packages out to build in a sane fashion, and perhaps we will have some leftovers for Lenny, that we have some recommends that we can't fulfill in main, technically spoken, which we just ignore because they are kernel packages easily be built. But we will see that. Okay, next question. There's one.
Yeah, I have two questions if I can. One's about the bin NMUs and the other one's about the bug tracking system. I find when I'm working with my packages, sometimes I just increment my package and upload it rather than requesting a bin MNU, which would probably be more appropriate because maintainers can't auto-schedule bin MNUs. So if my first question is, have you thought about opening up who can actually schedule bin MNUs and allowing maintainers to do it? And my second question is with the BTS. Some of the other teams in Debian have pseudo packages in the BTS, like FTP masters. And occasionally I find myself wanting to put a request into the release team, which would be much better suited logged in the BTS, because then it's recorded and then we can track what's happening to it. And sometimes issues do sort of go on over days or weeks or months. Have you thought about setting up a pseudo package in the BTS for the release team?
Okay. First, the first question, actually, it's not the release team who decides who can schedule bin NMUs. For example, I can't. So it's the vulnerable maintainers build daemon maintainers who make the decision for their architecture. Say, well, for my architecture, I don't mind if this person has the ability to schedule them. The great advantage of bin NMUs is that mostly, if you notice there's a transition ongoing, it's mostly then Steve because he's also able to schedule them, who goes to say, well, all of these packages in this list are now necessary, so we just schedule one for all of them. So that makes it easier if you have a large list of packages. Of course, we say, well, if I upload this package, one package needs to be rebuilt. It's probably the same time you need for a successful upload. But if you have, for this package, I have these 20 packages, it makes a difference. So, yes, but I think that bin NMUs are not, it might be that we want to have some changes there, but actually, for us, it worked very well so far, and now we can see how we can further improve it. But it's already working very well, at least from my perspective, but I'm only the one, but for me, it's just easier, because if I see something needing bin NMUs, I just say, Steve, please look at this and that package for bin NMU. So perhaps Steve wants to add something to that. You should have power.
Okay, I actually have several comments, if I may. First, I'll go ahead and respond to that one regarding the bin NMUs. Ryan Murray is principally the person responsible for deciding who has access in general for bin NMUs, and I have talked with him some about whether bin NMUs are something that individual developers should be able to schedule, and you know, it's something that we do need to figure out how we're going to address the various potential downsides of that. It's easier to schedule a bin NMU than it is to schedule an upload, and we want to make sure that as a result of that, people don't casually schedule a lot of bin NMUs that shouldn't be scheduled, that will as a result hammer the buildees and cause problems of various kinds. They also do tend to need to be coordinated to some degree in terms of transitions that are going on in unstable at any given time. So, I mean, the benefit for the release team of having bin NMUs as an option has been that we know a transition needs to happen. We know all these packages need to be rebuilt. It's way easier for us rather than coordinating with 20 different maintainers or doing NMUs by ourselves, going through the NMU process for those, to just be able to get the binaries scheduled and have the buildee maintainers upload those binaries. In a case where you're talking about, you've got a handful of packages that you know about, and uploading a sourceful build to trigger a rebuild, it's not really anything that we mind. I hope it's not enough of a burden for you so if it's not something that's a burden for the maintainer, sure, do it. If you find that it's something that you would prefer to not have to do the sourceful uploads, ask the release team and we'll take care of that as well. So that's all my comments on bin NMUs. I had a couple of other comments I wanted to share, if I could, but go ahead.
I have another question first to answer, Steve.
Okay.
So the second question was whether we considered using a pseudo package for the release team. Actually, I don't think we ever discussed about that. That might be related to the fact that nobody asked us up to now. I think the release team should consider that. We didn't do so up to now, so I don't have any answer to it. Perhaps it might also end up using RT or something else. We will just see. Yeah. Okay, now Steve.
Okay. My other comments were, you mentioned in your slides reasons why packages don't transition to testing, and you mentioned RC bugs, and you mentioned them being too young. The one thing you didn't mention was not being built on all architectures and how that is a requirement.
Oh, yes. That has been probably dropped out in some version of my slides.
Right. And so there are various reasons why packages will not build, are not built. Some are related to the buildees. Some are going to be architecture-specific bugs in your source packages. So one thing I would encourage all maintainers to do is they can use the PTS to find information about where their packages have not yet been built and what's holding their packages out of testing. There's also a great script in the DevScripts package called grep-excuses, which hits the web page from Brittany that explains why a package is or is not being considered for testing propagation. Please use one of those tools to see what the status of your packages are as far as transitioning into testing, so that you don't have to wait for the release team to let you know there's a problem, so that you can participate in making sure that your packages are ready to go into testing as soon as possible, and so that the version that you want to get into the release gets there, because we won't, unless there's a release critical bug or a related transition, we won't necessarily tell you that your package is stuck in unstable. That information is out there. Please use it.
And also, if you notice an issue like this package fails to build from source on a certain architecture, please file a bug, even on your own package. Because if you file an RC bug, first of all, the release team will see, oh, the package is not just waiting for some obscure reason because it's staying long in the build daemon queue, but it's really failing to build, so that we can take a look, the porters can take a look at, and all actions that are happening on the package are actually direct sent in the bug, so that we can see, oh yeah, this person has commented that part on the bug or that part on the bug. It makes our life easier to see why a package isn't going. So really, RC bugs are something to help. So if you find one, please file it. Okay, next question. Don't be afraid or shy here.
I've got another one.
Another issue I've come across, and Steve will recognise this because he's done a lot of work in this area. You said keep your libraries in a reasonable state. What I'm seeing is an explosion in upstream immature libraries, things like version symbols and stuff like that, which a lot of upstream library maintainers don't realise are beneficial to binary distributions such as ourselves. I find myself constantly trying to educate upstreams as to good library practice and good library packaging. And I think that's something we could possibly coordinate a bit better and have some really good source documentation that we could refer upstream immature library writers as to how they should be doing their libraries. I'm seeing some particular issues with a whole bunch of KDE libraries at the moment.
Yes, definitely a very good point. And I would appreciate anybody who starts writing such a, or improving our existing documents. I wouldn't say I'm the main expert on libraries in Debian. I know whom I can ask, which is among Steve, are some other people like Timo, who is also here, and other people who know how libraries work. I learned a lot about libraries when I fixed the libpng mess last year, but that's not the way I prefer it. So yes, if you have some more input on the documents that we have or so, please say so. And if there's anything that I could or we the release team could reasonably do for you, I'm definitely interested in doing this.
Where are the documents that you have already?
Yes, that's one part. Is there good hidden, as always in Debian. One document is some bits are in the developer's reference, some bits are in this library packaging guide, which is not, how should I say, there's a different opinions on the guide. So we should perhaps try to get from the different opinions to have a common opinion of the project, how a library should be maintained. Then there are two good documents by Ulrich Zepper on package librarying. So anybody who passed the new maintainer process about 2003 or later should have read this document as part of the new maintainer process. I did. Not Ulrich's guide, but Ulrich Zepper's document. I basically learned how ELF works as part of a new maintainer process, and I learned how libraries work as part of the PNG mess. So, yeah. But it would be good to really have one document that's a common opinion of the Debian project and not host it on some private websites of developers or even non-developers.
I guess you have plans for when to release Lenny, but do you have plans when to release the Edge with new kernels? Because currently there's already lots of hardware sold, which is not supported by the Edge kernel.
You mean when we want to release the next version of the Edge kernels?
Yeah, do you have an actual release plan for that, or somebody working on that?
Now, is Dan in the Zoom? Dan Fraser? Yeah, okay. Microphone, please.
Yeah, so last I talked to Martin Zobel about this, we were talking about doing a year after Edge would be about April. So probably around January or so, we'd want to start getting everything frozen so people can start testing this kernel before we put it into an update. Well, I'm just, off the top of my head, I would say about January, we'd want to start freezing it down so that we'd have something ready.
Actually, of course, if we put a new kernel in, we need to really test it properly. It's not possible that we say we do a new kernel and find bugs then when the first user installs the stable systems. So, yeah. But that's really a part of an experiment for us as well. So we need to see how it works out. And I'm definitely sure we will make lots of mistakes, but which we can do better in Lenny then.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we're also trying to do more regular stable updates of the 2.6.18 kernel on Edge. We'll take certain types of driver updates, like PCIID updates and stuff like that. So you can certainly bring that up on the kernel list, and we'll talk about that.
Okay. Next question, please. Okay. If there are no more questions, I think I can just say thank you all for coming. And yeah, if you have more questions that you didn't want to speak about, I think you will know where to find us on DebConf. Okay, so thank you very much.